Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Welcome to the Yeah, Whatever Podcast, the show that fearlessly explored the wildest questions you've always wondered about.
Join your hosts, Kian, Jake, and Harry, as they dive headfirst into the weird.
Whether it's uncovering the secrets of Bigfoot to analysing the absolute worst video game to get stuck in, nothing is off limits.
Strap in as we chat about everything from comic book superpowers to mind-bending mysteries from around the globe.
We're not afraid to ask big questions, and we're definitely not afraid to have fun while doing it.
So, if you're ready to explore the unexplored, laugh a lot, and maybe even question reality itself, you're in the right place. You can find the Yeah, What Of It podcast wherever you get good podcasts.
Working can be such a drag, but it's a necessary evil.
What better way to combat the woes of the working world than to commiserate with your fellow man?
I'm Jay.
And I'm Kay.
And we're the hosts of Fuck My Work Life, a comedy podcast where we share people's stories from the workplace.
Whether they're funny, weird, scary, or just plain messed up, they're always entertaining and may leave you thinking you don't have it so bad after all.
Available on all major podcast platforms. Give us a listen. Your sanity may just depend on it.
Hey there, true crime fans. I'm Karina.
And I'm Lockie.
And if you're like us and you can't get enough of those spine-tingling crime stories,
join us every week on our podcast where we dive into the latest cases and chat about everything from mysterious murders to perplexing disappearances.
But hey, don't expect us to be super serious about it. We're just two friends who love talking crime over a cup of coffee.
Absolutely. So if you're looking for a true crime podcast that feels like you're hanging out with your friends, give us a listen.
Caffeine Crime and Canines is available on most podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
See you there.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. Good to see you, Mom.
Good to see you too, bud. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for our fun little stories.
Yes, don't forget to go give us a 5-star review on all your favorite platforms.
Right.
Give us a follow. Send us to your friends.
Tell all your friends to listen to us too.
So what story are you going to be telling us about today, Mom?
I am going to be telling you about a missing persons case out of Canada from, it's a while ago, 1987. That went unsolved for several years, but it has been solved now. And the missing person was Alex Cooper. Some people might recognize that name in this story. So stay tuned. It's a wild ride.
Sounds interesting. Okay.
Yeah. What are you going to be telling us about?
I'm going to be talking about serial killer Bella Kiss.
I don't think I know that name.
It's a weird one, that's
okay.
For sure. To go with it, I have the Sicilian Kiss cocktail.
I get
He's not Sicilian, but it's got Kiss in it, so
oh,
it works.
Bella Kiss is a man's name.
Yes.
Was not expecting that. I thought you were being a female serial killer, and I was like, there haven't been many of those.
I might be pronouncing it wrong. It's a Hungarian name.
Oh, okay. Maybe. I mean, who knows? I just wasn't expecting it.
Anyways, the cocktail consists of 1 1/3 ounce Southern Comfort, 2/5 ounce amaretto, ice cubes, and an orange twist. I don't think this is going to be great.
I think this is going to be a down the drain drink.
I don't know if it'll be that bad. Let's see.
I think it will be. No.
Mm.
No, I'm not a fan. I would not.
I think I need
this.
To wait for the ice cube to melt a little bit.
Maybe.
It might be a little better, a little watered down.
It's still going to be gross. I don't care how much water is in it. It's still going to be gross. Unless it's all water, and then it's just a water drink, and that's fine.
Okay, let's get into Bella Kiss. Bella was born in Iszak, Hungary, to parents Janos and Verona Kiss. Little is known of his childhood, but Bella eventually moved to a town called Chinoka and became a tinsmith in the early 1900s. Bella had married twice and had two children, Ilonka and Aronka, before his wife supposedly ran away with a lover.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
This led to Bella hiring a housekeeper, Mrs. Jakubek, who helped care for the children and watch over the house. Bella would place ads in the newspaper offering his services for fortune-telling and facilitating marriages.
What?
Yeah. He was...
Okay.
He was strange, but we'll get into
Sounds
that later.
Like it. Okay.
This would lead to multiple women coming over for brief periods of time. However, Bella would try and keep them away from his housekeeper. When police noticed Bella collecting various steel drums, he was questioned, to which he gave a reasonable answer of collecting fuel to be rationed off during the pending World War I.
Okay.
So the war was on the horizon, and he was like, oh, I'm just collecting gasoline. Nothing to see here.
When
just
you
storing
said
gallons of gasoline in my shed.
Okay.
Hopefully
I mean,
no one smokes over here.
I get it. When you said steel drums, the first thing that popped into my head were the steel
drums. Like Jamaican steel drums?
Yes, musical instrument. And it took me a second to go, no, that's not what he meant.
Nope. Barrels.
I was trying to figure out how you would store fuel in those, and I was like, no, different kind of drum. Stop
just
being
different
dumb.
Kind of drum.
Yeah, okay.
However, he never got to use his gasoline because he was drafted into the army in 1914. Bella left his house in the care of his housekeeper during his time away. A few years after Bella had left for the war, his landlord had the idea of renovating the house while Bella was away.
Okay.
The landlord stopped by Bella's neighbor, who was a friend of the landlord, and he helped the landlord search for a stack of decorative reeds that they believed were stacked in Bella's workshop.
Decorative what?
Reeds. Oh. Like little sticks.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
R-E-E-D-S. That's,
yeah, it,
I didn't
I was
enunciate
confused.
That too well.
No, you did. I just didn't understand it. I was like, why the hell would you have reeds that are decorative? But gotcha.
So upon searching the workshop, the two men discovered 7 large drums.
Uh-huh.
Curiosity got the best of them, and they decided to pry the top of the barrels off and were immediately hit with the foul stench.
Oh. Don't open
They say
barrels.
Curiosity killed the cat, so I wouldn't have even opened them in the first place. But these two curious men decided to dig around in the barrels, where they found a lock of blonde hair.
No. Okay,
and after
wait.
Further investigation, a body that belonged to that blonde hair.
Wait a second. Okay, you're telling me that they find these barrels, and they open them up, and it stinks, and rather than just
around.
Being like, that's gross, they decided to dig around in the fluid and, oh,
yeah.
Nope, not even gonna go, nope.
The police were called and all seven of the drums were searched, providing seven bodies in various states of decay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
After searching the house, the remains of 24 total bodies were discovered.
What?
Holy yes. And it didn't... Since this is like such an old case, there wasn't a ton of information on what states the bodies were in or right. what remains there were, but they said there were 24 total remains of bodies in his house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
When his housekeeper, Miss Jakubek, in charge of the house while he was away, the police immediately questioned her, to which she had no answers. However, she did provide police with the key to a secret room that she was not allowed to enter. In the room sat a small desk with a chair and bookcases lining the walls and stacks of envelopes and papers. The books on the walls contained mostly books about poisons, torture methods, and like weird occult stuff.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew. Yeah. Okay, question. Yeah. If you're in somebody's house, it's not her house, the housekeeper, right? Or does she live there too? Regardless.
I think she lives there. Doesn't matter. Because she's taking care of the house while he's away.
If you have the key to a locked room that you're not supposed to go in, and the guy's not there, are you fucking going in that room? No,
I don't think so.
I would. I am a nosy bitch. I would be in there like, why can't I go in here? Now,
he was paying her a lot of money, so if she was like racking in dough, and she's like, I can't lose this job. Then...
Okay, but we're talking World War I. There's not cameras up.
Yeah, but
she is. There is no expectation that she's going to get caught. I would 100%. True. I would.
I wouldn't want to know. I'd be freaked out.
I would want to know why I'm not allowed in there.
There's like a monster in there or something.
Yes. I would want to know why I'm not allowed in there. What the hell is in there? I would 100% go sneaking in.
After this stuff, I wouldn't. So after reading through the papers.
True.
Authorities were able to put together the scheme that Bella had been using. So okay. From the ads that Bella posted in the newspaper, he would find and contact women interested in his services with little to no family members and string them along in hopes of collecting more and more money from them. So he was like, he would place ads like, oh, do you want a husband? Contact me and I'll help set you up with someone, and then charge them money for his services. And yeah.
What a dirtbag.
When they proved to be unruly, he would invite them over to his home and often strangle them to death.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Police discovered that two of his victims actually took him to court over the money, but went missing before anything would happen.
Of course they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Since Bella was serving in the military during the discovery, police notified the army of the situation, but there was one problem. The name Bella and the name Kiss were both very common Hungarian names at the time, and there were likely hundreds of Bella Kisses serving.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's like being named Craig Smith or something.
Yeah, John Smith. We got John Smith over here. Holy crap.
On October 4th, 1916, the police got word from the military that Bella was currently receiving treatment in a Serbian hospital for a battle wound. Police rushed to the hospital but were shocked when they found a dead man in Bella's bed. Only it wasn't Bella.
Of course it wasn't.
Bella had placed a dead soldier in his bed and made a quiet getaway out of the hospital. Yeah.
My God.
James Bonded it.
No shit.
Authorities around the area were alerted, to which many sightings were reported and investigated. In 1920, a member of the French Foreign Legion, which is a unit of the French army made up of foreigners, One of their members approached authorities claiming that Bella was actually in his unit.
Ooh.
He claimed that the man matched Bella's description and would brag about how good he was at strangulation.
Oh, ew.
Yeah. When the authorities went to investigate, they discovered that this soldier had actually defected without warning just like days before they went to investigate it.
So he ran off.
Yeah. About 12 years later, a homicide detective in New York named Henry Oswald, also known as Camera Eye for his uncanny memory of faces, said he had spotted Ooh. The now 60-year-old Bella in Times Square, but he was lost in the crowd.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, shortly shit. After the sighting, someone believed he was a janitor in an apartment complex in New York. But when police arrived to question Bella, they discovered the janitor had suddenly quit and left no other information.
How does this dude know that he's inside... everybody's getting tipped off?
I don't know. There's not many pictures of him. He's just like, there's like a painting, pretty much.
He's just an average dude.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Many rumors and sightings of Bella have been reported over the years, but Bella was never arrested for his crimes and has never been heard from again.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he just disappeared.
That's wild.
Fully off the grid.
That is wild. Great story. Oh my god.
I know, I'm surprised I haven't heard of it before.
No, I've never heard of it before. Not even like a little bit of details. I mean, that's holy moly. I don't even know where you found that. That was you must have dug deep into some weird corner of the internet to find that.
That took me a long time.
Yeah, great job. All right.
Let's hear about your story, Mom.
You ready for my missing persons case?
I am ready.
Okay. In 1987, April of 1987, 65-year-old Alex Cooper left his home in Cranbrook, British Columbia for a work trip. He left his wife, Margaret, at home that day. It was common for Alex to go on work trips. He was a traveling salesman, basically. So it wasn't unusual for him to go on a work trip and leave for a few days. A little background on Alex and his wife, Margaret. The couple met in 1950 and had a family together. They had 5 children and 3 grandchildren by the time that he disappeared in 1987. He was a skilled musician and well known to be a solid family man. People knew him. He was, you know, everybody knew he was this solid dude, big family, and everybody got along and everything. For many years, he worked in the cleaning industry, and in 1986, he took a job as a salesman. This job required a fair amount of travel for him, but he seemed to enjoy it. Many people Alex's age often stop working because at 65 years old, they're eligible for retirement benefits. But Alex kept working. The day after he left, one of his daughters, Lila, and her husband Pete were driving by a local creek and noticed Alex's car on the side of the road. Lila thought that her dad might be down on the creek fishing. Apparently he was a big fisherman and he liked to do that. So they decided to stop and have a chat with him. But when the daughter and son-in-law went down to the water, Alex was nowhere to be found. Lila called her mother asking about Alex's whereabouts. Margaret explained that she hadn't heard from her husband since he had left on his trip. She hadn't been concerned with the lack of contact, as she just figured he was busy with work. Remember, this is 1987. This is before cell phones. This is before people could track your whereabouts by using your location on your phone. And he wasn't calling home.
Pagers.
Yeah, exactly. So, and very few people had pagers in 1987. But she wasn't, you know, his wife, Margaret, was like, you know, he doesn't always call in. He's just busy. So, but then when she found out that his car was on the side of the road and he was nowhere to be found.
That's a little suspicious.
Right. She became concerned. So she started calling hospitals in the area, but Alex wasn't at any of the hospitals. The next step was to report him missing to the police. His locked car was searched, and they found fishing equipment and some clothing inside, but there was no evidence of a struggle or any problems around the vehicle. It was just parked on the side of the road next to this creek slash river. That was it. The area surrounding the creek and the vehicle were searched. They used helicopters. They were ground searching. But there was no sign of Alex. He just gone. During the investigation, it was learned that Alex had eaten at a nearby restaurant on the day he went missing. The restaurant was less than half a mile from where Alex's car was located. Margaret, his wife, noted that Alex was known to pay for things in cash and often carried a large amount of cash with him. Like, he would pull out a roll of cash, pay for stuff, and then put the roll back in his pocket. So there was initial theory and concern that maybe someone had seen the rolls of cash on him and robbed him and then killed him. But again, there's no sign of him, just his vehicle. They didn't find a body or any sign of a struggle or anything. Another theory was that Alex had gone down to the creek to go fishing, but had an accident or a health emergency, maybe a heart attack or something, and that he had fallen in the water and drowned. But the creek was searched and there was no evidence to confirm this theory. So again, nothing.
It's like a creek is like, well, small enough, you could search it pretty easy.
Right. And they call it a creek. I think the name of it is something creek. I don't remember the name of it. But then in the show about it, it looks like a freaking river to me. So I couldn't tell you if it's a river or a creek, but either way, they searched it and they didn't find him. So again, no clue. The story was featured in the news, and a few witnesses came forward, reported seeing a man matching Alex's description hitchhiking in that area around the time he went missing, leading some to believe that Alex had staged his disappearance and had just left his life and moved on. But Alex's family did not believe that. They dismissed the idea about him voluntarily walking away. They noted that his heart medication had been left at home, his credit card had been left at home. So they thought there's no reason that he wouldn't have left that stuff if he was running away. And they had no reason to believe that he would run away. He seemed, you know, I mean, he's a grandfather, husband, no known problems in his family for them to think, sure, maybe he just up and ditched everybody, you know? I mean, what 65-year-old man is just going to go?
Most people don't normally do that.
Right? So, you know, happy family man isn't going to just go walking off and become a, you know,
leave
get himself
car
a new
specifically.
Life.
Just
right.
Walk away, fully
right.
Walk away.
With no real leads and no further reports, Alex's missing person case went cold. After a year of being missing, Margaret applied to the court to have Alex legally declared dead. In order to declare him dead, she needed to supply a copy of his birth certificate to complete the process. That turned out to be very difficult and brought up a lot more questions. So she wasn't able to find any birth certificates matching her husband's name and date of birth. There were no Alex Coopers born around the time that, you know, they've been married 35 years. She knows when his birthday is, but she's not able to get his birth certificate. She also discovered there didn't appear to be any type of information about Alex prior to 1952, which is the year they got married. There were no school transcripts, no medical records, no military records, no nothing for a 1922 man named Alex Cooper, born in 1922. There was nothing. No documentation anywhere.
It's weird.
Right. Suddenly the family realized that Alex Cooper was not his real name, and they had no idea what his real name was. So,
Jesus.
4 years goes by. They got nothing. 1991, May of 1991, a traveling salesman named David Cooper, not Alex Cooper, David Cooper, was reported missing halfway across the country in Toronto, Canada. A friend had reported David missing, and the police went to his home to investigate. So Alex is renting, sorry, David. David is renting a room in a boarding house in Toronto. A friend reports David missing. Police go to his room, fingerprint it, and they're looking for stuff. But they don't find him. A couple of days later, he goes home and he notices the cops have been there. There's fingerprint powder on the walls. Some stuff has been disturbed. So he asks his landlady what happened. And she goes, well, you were reported missing. And the police were here to investigate.
Okay.
Right. Margaret was shown a picture of the man, David, from the boarding house, and she confirmed that that was a picture of Alex, her husband, holding their grandchild.
So this guy just did start a new life.
Yep. He did a runner.
Or he's got a twin brother?
Nope.
Oh.
When the police were notified that David had returned home, he was gone again. So no Alex, no David, no nothing. This guy's gone.
Okay.
4 months later, the story of the missing Alex Cooper / David Cooper was broadcast on the show Unsolved Mysteries, which has had a current resurgence of new episodes and new stories. But this was the stories back in the day that were not solved. And this one has been solved. A viewer of that episode recognized Cooper and reported it. He was finally located in Hamilton, Canada in January of 1992. He explained to police that his real name was neither Alex or David Cooper, but that his true name was Albin Arsenault. He detailed how when he was 26 years old, he had been falsely accused of stealing from his work, an office at the Canadian Pacific Railroad. He was worried that he was going to get arrested for it, and he didn't do it. So not wanting to be arrested for a crime he didn't commit, he decided to go on the run. And he thought that was the better option. Just, you know, at 26 years old, don't fight. You know, I'm going to get arrested for something I didn't do. So I'll just make a new life for myself. So that's what he did. And
okay, that is weird.
Alex Cooper was born. A couple of years later, he met Margaret. And 2 years after that, the couple married. Margaret had no idea the entire time of their marriage that she was living with a lie. She had no clue. It turned out also that the theft charges that Albin was so worried about had likely been dropped long ago, and no one had been looking for him at all.
Jesus.
The whole thing came to a head when he turned 65 years old. In order to claim his retirement benefits, he would need to furnish his birth certificate, which he obviously didn't have because he was living under an assumed name for the last 40 years. He figured at that time, his next option was to run again rather than just telling his family, by the way, I've been telling you this whole time, my name is Alex and it's not, and I'm a big fat liar. He was just like, no, I'm just going to peace out and I'm going to just run away. So a couple of days after telling his story to the police, he went back home to his wife and family. Obviously, it took some adjusting. I can't even imagine. The family eventually came to terms with the situation and they went on to live their lives together, and he was welcomed back into the family.
That is a wild story.
Right?
You right? Find these weird stories like that. Like the tubing guy.
Yes.
Tubing bank robber.
I love the tubing bank robber.
That one's pretty good.
So good. Do you have a chaser for us?
Do you have a chaser?
Oh, I asked you first.
No.
Okay, I'll go. My chaser is that we went with friends to see a play in Ashland. It was a Sherlock Holmes play. And one, your dad was very skeptical because we've been to
it's a play. Yeah.
Smaller town plays.
They can be bad sometimes.
Right. And it was amazing. It was so good. It was really well written, really well acted. There were, I think, five people in the play, five actors that played a whole bunch of different parts. And it was just it was super fast and it was an amazing story. And then afterwards, we went to dinner at our favorite Italian restaurant that you've been to that I've mentioned a few times on here, Osteria La Bricola. So if anybody is listening in Southern Oregon and they are looking for amazing, authentic Italian food, make the effort and go to Ashland because it's the
delicious.
Best. It's so good. It is legit the closest thing to authentic, Italian food in Italy that I have tasted here.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So good.
The scallop risotto I got. Oof.
I know.
It was delicious. Yes.
So good. Yeah. Yeah. I got my usual last night, my bucatini with pomodoro sauce, but
nice.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. And we went with Ty and Gina. Shout out to Ty and Gina.
Shout out Ty and Gina.
Yeah. What is your chaser?
My chaser is a watch recommendation for a new Amazon movie called Brothers with Peter Dinklage and Josh Brolin and Brendan Fraser. It's got a bunch of pretty famous people in it. And Peter Dinklage and Josh Brolin are brothers, twin brothers, which is...
Okay, right.
Sure. But they're in a family of crime, and so they're just pretty shitty criminals, basically.
Oh,
and it's a
awesome.
Funny movie.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
we'll have
worth
to check
watch.
It out. I like that.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of another good episode. Thanks
it
for joining
does.
Us, everybody.
Thanks
Enjoyed
so much.
Enjoyed hearing that weird missing person story.
I know. I'm glad it's solved. That's one of the reasons why I covered it, because it's actually solved. I hate unsolved shit. It drives me nuts.
I love you, Mom.
Love you too, bud. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.